lose his power. God shall never lose his power. Jesus, God that deals for sin forever, God shall never lose his power.
And the
shake hands for everyone beside you and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. We do give everyone a warm welcome and our service in the name of the Lord. And we just pray that God will bless you this morning. Praise God. And we appreciate, as our brother Mark said, everyone that was able to give to the brother Brian. And we believe the ministry was a great blessing. And we just thank the Lord for that. Praise God. We're going to turn to Romans this morning, Romans chapter 5, and I want you just to remember us in prayer. I've received an invitation to go to Canada to the brother Jonah Emke. And so you pray for me. I don't know, there's no date or anything, just the brothers asked me would I be willing to come, and then there's other fellowships over there as well that he said they would want me to preach. But you just pray for us. The Lord will give us the wisdom on that. I do believe God's given me a little something this morning when I was praying for that, but for other things as well, just to help us along the way. And we just thank the Lord for the word of God. Let's read verse 9 and verse 10 of Romans chapter 5, and there's no, I love the book of Romans, especially chapter 5, and I won't try and be too long this morning. Romans chapter 5, then let's read verse 9 and verse 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let's come and bow our heads this morning. And if you have a need, just raise your hand up before the Lord this morning. Praise God, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that this indeed is a privilege which is ours as a people of God, that we can enter in boldly by the new and living way, through the precious blood of the Lamb, into thy very presence, from thy footstool. Lord, we come this morning pleading the merits of the blood of the Lamb. We say, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us, and we'll praise thy name. Lord, I come against every foul spirit this morning, every spirit of divination and demonation. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination. Lord, rid every one of us of our own thinking, our own ideas, our own ways, and vain imaginations, and fill us with your word of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the mind that was on Christ, in Christ, be in us this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, we know that the church is not a fancy building with steeples and crosses and fancy fixtures, but we know the true church of God is where you placed your name. And you have told us, for two or three of us will gather in your name, that you will be in the midst of us, and that to bless us. So Lord, we thank you for the blessing of coming here today, because we're gathering in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, you see the hands that's been raised, you know the names. But we thank you that before we ask, you'll answer us. Lord, I praise you for your goodness and for your grace. Meet every need, Lord Jesus, for the hands raised in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, bless your children and strengthen them. Give us from your word this day the finest of the wheat. Help us to rightly divide the word of God by the help of your Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, all we would desire to do and hope to do, we commit it all to thee and ourselves to thy keeping. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you to undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. I want to take for a text from the verse 10, and I really just want to concentrate on the first half of the verse this morning, and maybe tonight we'll go at the other half. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So my text this morning is reconciled to God by the death of His Son. This is a wonderful verse. Now the William Tyndale Bible, I was going to bring it, but I thought for the sake of carrying too much stuff. The William Tyndale Bible says in part of this verse, for it says in our verse, reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The Tyndale Bible says we shall be preserved by His life. So not only does God save us, but He preserves us. Now we might get into that a bit tonight, but this morning I want to look at this reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now we know, first of all, Christ died for us. And it's the death of Christ is important for our salvation. For we have no salvation outside of the death of Christ. Any other man could have died. Any other good person could have died. But it wouldn't have done anything for me or you, because they were just mere men. But this man, Christ Jesus, when he died, had done something for me and you. Praise God. When verse, it says in Romans 5, you don't have to turn to Romans 5 and 6 tells us, while we were yet sinners. So Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And verse 8, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. So Christ died for us when we had no strength. Then in verse 8, Christ died for us when we were yet sinners. Then in Colossians 1:21, it says, while we were yet enemies. So He died for us when we had no strength. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And He died for us when we were enemies. You say enemies, yes. We were enemies to God. Alienated, Ephesians says, from the covenants of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. What's the rest of it say? Having no hope without God in the world. Amen. And when you have no God, you have no Christ. And when you have no Christ, you have no friend. And you have no salvation. You're hopeless, helpless soul.
Yes.
Like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's some state, isn't it?
Yes, amen.
But then we have this verse. But Christ died for us.
Amen.
Want you to see this morning that we're saved because He died.
Amen.
Not because He's living. It's a whole different thing.
Right.
I want you to see the death of Christ.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people don't believe in the death of Christ.
Yes.
They believe He was comatized. All fancy words for it. Went into a sort of a hypnosis state. And He lay for 3 days and come round again. That's what they believe. But the Bible is God's absolute.
Yeah.
And the Bible says Christ died. Not only did the Bible say Christ died, but the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. That leaves every man with hope. Everyone. Here's this word reconciliation. Now Sinn Féin, the DUP and all the rest of the hypocrites that we have over here, that's what they all are. That's my opinion of a lot of them. There's not one of them much good. That's the honest truth of it. Nevertheless, you say that's terrible. That's how I think about it. I would still vote for the one I think, yes, because better to something than nothing. How many agrees? But do you need to pray for them? Now, I'm not talking about some of them. Certain ones you need to pray for. I wouldn't pray for the rest of them, only that they'd be delivered. But they all talk about this word here, reconciliation, but they know nothing about it. Nothing about it. There can be no reconciliation until a man or a woman first realizes their state. And if they never realize their state, there never can be reconciliation. So if you hit me a good punch up the gum, and you never say you're sorry, how can we ever be reconciled? We can't be. And you say, what a statement. Oh, but just a moment, I'm sure, I never saw it last week, but I'm sure some of you have watched the film about the Bowmans that was here, and the Shanka. Terrible, wasn't it? But there was never no reconciliation. There can't be. Do you know why? Nobody ever said they were sorry. They try to justify it. Man cannot justify his sin.
Amen.
But it's wrong.
Right.
Until a man or a woman admits their sin and admits their condition, they never can be reconciled. Never. There has to be a repentance, a turning from sin to the right. And that's why there'll never be real reconciliation in our country, because nobody's willing to say I was wrong. We did it for the cause. What cause? I don't believe in any of the causes. There's only one cause, that's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All the rest is a waste of time. Amen.
Amen.
Now if you don't believe this morning, you need to sort yourself out. Flag the flag's not what we need. Kick of the Pope, all the rest of it, all them things. No, no, that'll do it. It's Christ. That's the only thing that'll do it. Now I believe in flying the flag. Don't get me wrong. As long as it's red, white and blue, I'll fly. It's any other colour, I'm not interested. I could preach a sermon, you know, on the flag. We should preach a sermon on the Union Jack. Colours of it. You know, they're great colours, you know. The blue's the Lord from heaven, the red's the blood, the white's the righteousness. Oh yes, all in the Bible. Praise God. But I don't want to get onto that this morning. Reconcile. So many agrees with me this morning, there can be no real reconciliation between two parties when none of them will admit they were wrong. And I tell you, when you see the atrocities was done in this land, it was terrible. And nobody ever was fit to get up and say, look, we've done it, we're in a war, or whatever they want to call it, which I don't believe that either.
No.
But none of them admit and say, we were wrong. We were sorry we done it. They say we wouldn't change a thing. That's what they say. If you won't change a thing, you've no reconciliation. You can't have it. Let me go into that word for a moment this morning. Reconciliation means to become friends. How can you become friends with your enemy? There's only one way you can do it. That's if your enemy comes to you and says, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Then you can be reconciled. But outside of that, it can't happen. How many believes that? Those who were once at variance. It also means restoration or brought into favour. So the death of Christ,
yes.
Because of the death of Christ, we're able to become the friends of God. Because of of the death of Christ, we've had restoration. What Adam had lost, we have it restored to us because of the death of Christ. We're brought back in the fellowship of God, we which were not a people, we which were afar off. We're brought back in the fellowship and the friendship with Christ, with God, because of the death of Christ. So if Christ had never died, we would never have been fit to have came back. If Christ had never died, we would never have this friendship. We'd never have this fellowship we have this morning that we enjoy as Christians. We could never have it if it hadn't been for the death of Christ. We'd be lost if it hadn't been for the death of Christ. But Christ died that we could be saved, so that we could be reconciled back to God. I want to read this from this message. And I was studying this and never knew Brother Branham even preached this message from this title. Here's the title: Fellowship Through the Reconciliation of the Blood. And I was studying in reconciliation, then I found this. And here's the thing about it: he preached this a lot of times. Preached it more than once. Some message. Yes, what we need today is some good, strict Bible preaching. Teaching. Back to the old hewing lines that shed blood. God laid out the world, the map for the human family to come home. And it was through reconciliation of the blood. He's never changed from that day to this.
Amen.
How come they say we don't need the blood? That's not what the prophet said. You have to be careful, you see, when you say we're not message believers, we don't believe the message. You need to clarify that. I believe the message God sent.
Amen.
I believe the voice God sent. I believe the things God's prophet said and preached. I believe them. I don't believe men's versions of them here, there, and yonder. But I believe the original word that came. It's the truth. And if we would only preach that, we couldn't go wrong. For it's the word of God. Isn't that wonderful what he said here? Some say I belong to the Methodists. Some belong to the Pentecostals. I belong to this. That don't mean much to God. Listen to this. You've got to be born again. You've got to come and recognize the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you, and you're dead to yourself and to the things of the world, and you have to be born anew in Christ Jesus by the washing and renewing by the blood.
Amen.
And Hebrews tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What else does it say? And almost all things are purged by the blood. See, all these books of the Bible are wonderful to preach the gospel through. But they'll not work for some man's own idea, but for the gospel. Now I want us to take a moment or two this morning, and I want you to see this reconciliation through the blood. And I might refer to some people in the Bible about it this morning. We go through some scriptures. Colossians 1, and keep your finger in Romans. Colossians 1, verse 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him. So we are reconciled to God by Christ's blood. But you can't have blood until you have a death. I want you to get this. You have to have a death to get the blood. Then when you get the death, you get the blood. That brings you to Leviticus 14. And Leviticus 14 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. So people talk about the token. I hear people preach the token, the token, the token. And they talk about the token. And they preach about the token. And they think they're preaching the message God sent. And they dismiss the blood and all them things. Well, you can't do that.
Amen.
That's not the Bible. The token was the blood. Follow me here now. In the book of Exodus is where you first read about the token. On the book of Exodus, God is going to judge the Egyptians, and God's going to send judgment because Pharaoh's heart's been hardened so many times. The flies came, he wouldn't let them go. The frogs came, he wouldn't let them go. And God brought all the plagues in Egypt because God had promised Joseph that you'll come out of Egypt. And Joseph, before he died, told them, when you come out of Egypt, bring my bones out. Don't leave them in Egypt. How many know the Bible? But 400 years they were down in bondage in Egypt, and God told them to come out. And God sends all these signs, God sends all these wonders. Pharaoh's heart's hardened and they won't let the people go. And finally God says to Moses, slay a lamb. And take the blood of the lamb and apply it upon the doorposts and upon the top of the post and the side of the post, you know, round the door frame, that's what it means. With a scarlet and a hyssop, and it shall be to you a token. And the word token means a sign. So the blood, where you get the word token from, is the book of Exodus. And that's where Brother Brian preached it from. From the Exodus, from the Bible. And the token is to you a sign. That's what God said to Moses. And all the people that were under the token, when the death angel passed through, were saved. But all the Egyptians, they didn't have this revelation. Because they didn't have a prophet. They had a Pharaoh, but they never had a prophet. Well, the children of Israel had a prophet, type of Christ. And he told them to apply the blood on the doorpost, and you'll be saved, and they were saved. And the Egyptians dropped like flies when the death angel came through dead. All the firstborn dropped dead. How many knows that? So that's where it comes from. Then Brother Branham comes along and Brother Branham shows us that when the blood cell of Jesus Christ broke on the cross, the life of God was released. And the life of God is the Holy Spirit, and there's not two Holy Spirits, there's one. And the Bible says, wherefore you're baptized by one Spirit into one body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You're baptized in by the one Holy Spirit. But the blood cell had to broke at Calvary so that the life of God could be released. And the prophet preached the token message, and it's wonderful. And the token is not just the blood, but it's the life of the blood. How many understands that? Not just like a chemistry that you go today and, you know, me and Brother Gary don't go to the day and take a physical beast and slay a lamb. But the blood of Jesus Christ was shed 2,000 years ago. But it's not congealed. It's not dried up. But it's full of the same power, the same vitality, the same potency as in the blood of Jesus today as when it was first shed. Because it is called the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus' blood never saw corruption. Now you can't preach that if you have no revelation on the blood. If you don't see Jesus as superior to every other man, you can't preach it. Because Jesus Christ was God incarnate in a man. He was God, the very God. Therefore his blood is God's blood. Therefore, because it's God's blood, it's supernatural blood, it's greater than any other blood, it has no original sin in it, nothing in it that can defile it or corrupt it, because it is from the very presence of God, brought down to humanity to redeem us by the death of Christ. He died that we could be saved. Do you believe that this morning? People think the gospel's not deep. They don't know what they're talking about. There's a depth in the Word of God. How many believes that? And I tell you, there's a lot of things in the gospel. And they're wonderful. And they should do us good. Whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and reading Colossians 1 and 20. Verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Paul says some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers. Paul goes through a list, a long list. Then he says, but now we're in Christ. What's that mean? Now we're in Christ means we're no longer under condemnation. We fell under Romans chapter 8, what he preached about. There's now no condemnation to them that are in the church. No. to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's Christ you have to be in. And when you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. How can you condemn Christ? For God raised him from the dead. And God was appeased. That means he was absolutely satisfied with what Christ done. We couldn't satisfy God, but he done it for us. And we are now accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and I'll read it for you. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. This is all about the Lord and the coming of the Lord. And 70 weeks. This is all the scripture, all the end time. And it's all about reconciliation. That God brings us back into favor with him. Do you realize you're sitting there this morning? The devil tries to tell you you're not in favor with God. That's his job. He'll tell you you're not in favor with God. He wants to depress you. And oh, he doesn't. Do you ever wonder how people that can be anointed use the God and they can get down? How many knows that can happen? I know what I'm talking about. It's happened to me. Look at Elijah. Sat at the brook. Brother Brian mentioned it the other week. I've yet 7,000 God tell him haven't bowed the knee, and he thought he's only one. God always is people.
Amen.
See, when you think we're the only ones, you're wrong. God has more people.
Amen.
God's got people everywhere. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, here's what it says. I'm going to read verse 8 to 20, and brother put it up. But all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing, and I mentioned it Wednesday night. It's the gospel of Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Then the gospel that he lies.
Amen. What's the truth?
It's Christ's gospel.
Amen.
Nobody has the claim to say it's only ours.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to say this, and I know it's recorded, but when I left the brethren and joined the Pentecostals, a lot of their brethren thought I was lost because I left their ranks. That's how they think. Now be honest about it. And there's other organizations, and we've all the times past, I'm guilty of it, I can't deny, we've condemned them. But what about now around the circle of things that's now, when people follow a certain line and go out on a limb, and you don't see it their way, and you wake it up, and you see the wrong, and you come away from it,
yes.
Then maybe you're lost. You'll not be in the rapture.
Okay.
Many never come on now.
Yes.
Who's here this morning? Who believes we're not preaching the truth here? And we're following brother so-and-so, and we sat at so-and-so's feet for so many years. Not interested.
Amen.
This here is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's his gospel. It's his message. It's his kingdom. We're not working for a man's kingdom. We're working for the kingdom of God. If you're working for any other kingdom, you're wrong. It's God's church.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the church. And that church has a message. Repent.
Amen. That's the truth.
Where does he say it? Five identifications of true church. Go and read it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best messages you'll ever hear. It's wonderful.
Amen.
God doesn't want us to go out here or go out here. God wants us right down the middle on the straight and narrow path. Here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. Precept upon precept. Line upon line.
Yes.
God's word's not confusing, it's simple. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I'll put this to you this morning. If you don't preach the death of Christ, you can't preach reconciliation. Do you hear me this morning? Because that's how we'll have it. So if you say, we people said to me one day, we have moved on. We're now in a different dispensation. Some go to far as to say, that the church age has finished. We're no longer in the church age. We're in another age. We have moved on. They take different quotes. We've turned a corner. All right?
Yes, that's right.
They say different statements, but let's read all of it. Not a bit of it.
That's right, amen.
I write you at the start of our meeting this morning that William Branham said this is what we need today is the old fashioned blood preaching.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say this will never change and cannot change.
Amen.
It's the everlasting truth because Revelation calls it the everlasting gospel. God did not bring us a new gospel. God did not bring us a new message. Brother Branham says, I bring no new revelation. But I tie up all the loose ends in one complete revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. How many knows he said that? And we've been restored back. Because God has sent the Spirit of Elijah. We know that and believe it with all of our hearts. Somebody believes it.
Amen.
To bring us back to the original apostolic faith that the church once had. Restoration doesn't change it from what it used to be. It restores it back to the original. Amen. Verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That means sent ones. People that speaks from. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. That's the message. They're trying to get people reconciled to God. That should be all of our messages. That's the gospel. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We can't be it without him, but we can be in him, because Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God on display. Jesus Christ is the purity of God on display. Jesus Christ is the delight of the Father on display, and he gave himself for us. But he didn't give himself for us for no reason. But he wants us to try and reconcile others through the message of the cross. The power of the blood. Ephesians 2 and 16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. By the cross. A man once stood up in a big gathering and he said, we no more need the cross. We have bypassed the cross. You can never get to Pentecost and you bypass the cross, you hear me? Because you must first come to Calvary and repent and be washed in the blood of Jesus. Then you are a candidate for Pentecost.
Yes.
But you can't go to Pentecost if you bypass the cross. Well, you're not born again. You're dead in your sins. You never can lay aside the message of the cross. You never can make a statement we don't need the cross. What a statement. That's an antichrist statement. It's blasphemy.
Amen.
That's what it is. I tell you, I believe that God is saying it's time that we preach the true gospel and lay the axe to the root of the trees and let the chips fall where they will. How many believe it? God's going to raise up men to preach the truth, you know. Ambassadors. And they will preach the gospel. Isn't it a sad thing that people say, we have the ultimate truth, and they don't want the gospel?
Yes.
What truth have they?
Amen.
I'll put it to you, they're deceived.
Yes, amen. That's the truth.
They're no different, some of them, in the Church of Rome.
Nope.
I want to tell you, William Branham preached the cross. William Branham preached the blood. God's prophet preached it. He could do no other. But he said, I preach what Paul preached.
Yeah.
How can we then say we're preaching what he preached and preach some other nonsense? I tell you today, it's going on everywhere. Let me say with this morning, Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things he behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. God lowered himself.
Yes.
He condescended. He came down. See, this is the difference in Jesus. I want you to get this. This is why Jesus is so superior to Buddha and Muhammad and all these other false prophets. Pope and all. He was in heaven. And he came down from heaven. They never were in heaven. Will you hear me? They never were in heaven. They were born sinners by nature. Born sinners by birth. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. And she conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the child Jesus was born. And he was little Jehovah Land in the manger. God manifested in flesh. What for? To destroy the works of the devil. I thank God he came to plunder hell that he might populate heaven. Hallelujah! What a Savior.
Yeah.
Praise God for it. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I want to read this morning from the pulpit commentary. And you know, I read so much stuff and study so many things. You say, what for? I want to get every angle, every avenue, everything from a word I can get. Everything. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Listen to this. Men do usually die for their enemies, but they do seek the good of their friends. If then God, superhuman love, reconciled us to himself through the death of his son when we were still his enemies, what assurance may we not now feel, being no longer in enmity of being saved from the wrath, Romans 5:9, to which as sinners and enemies we were exposed. There is also a significance in the verse 10 of Romans 5 in the words death. Listen to this now. And life. A significance in the words death and life. Christ's death was for atonement. Now pause for a moment.
Yes,
Christ's death is for atonement. Now when you study the Bible through the Old Testament, the Bible continually talks about there had to be atonement made for the soul.
Amen.
For the soul that sinned, it should surely die.
Yes.
But Christ's death was the ultimate atonement for the soul.
Yeah.
And he rose from the dead so that we could live. Praise God. Are you getting it? Are you catching it? And in it we were conceived as having died with him to our former state of alienation from God. His resurrection was the inauguration of the new life to God in which with him we live. So when Christ died, we died with him. How many is here this morning? Many believe that. How many have ever heard William Brown saying this? When they crossed the Dan of Rose, I was there. He goes through all the great things in history. How many have ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Then he gets to the cross and he says, when Jesus was on the cross, I was there. You say, what type of preaching is that? That's the type of preaching that Paul preached. For Paul says, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become the sons of God. And God foreknew you. And God foreknew me. And we were in him, in his mind, in his thinking. God had a thought for you. God had a desire for you. God knew you even before you were cradled within your mother. God knew you. And God chose you. And he knew when you're going to receive him. And he knew when you're going to become. Because he's Almighty God. And knowing all things, the Bible goes further. It says the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He chose you in Christ. So when Jesus was on the cross, you were with him. How many believe that? Doesn't it say Levi not yet being born? Pent times while he was in his grandfather Abraham. How many read it? Who believes the predestination in here? You have to. God knew you. God chose you. You never choose him. He chose you. He chose you. He desired to call you. He desired to move you. It was the Spirit of God that drew you. It was the Spirit of God that brought you. William Branham says, no man comes seeking God, God seeks man. And when we see the first account of it in Genesis, when God comes seeking Adam, and he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, Lord, I hid myself because I was naked. And God said, who told you're naked? And he blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent. Then when we get over to Romans, it accounts it all to Adam. How many knows that? For sin entered into the world by one man, and death by sin.
Yes.
But thank God for another man.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam bore the image of the earthly, so do we, but the Lord from heaven. And the Bible says, as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we're born again.
Yes.
Of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to have to move on here, but I tell you, the time's gone. And then when you get a message, you think it'll be 20 minutes, and the time's just 5 past now. All right, I won't hold you as long. Let us just look at the order of Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 9, a substitution of Romans 5. Reconciliations, verse 10 and 11, and it's chapter 8 and verse 32, all about reconciliation. We are reconciled by Christ's death. Now give me a few moments and we go back, and I won't be much longer. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's what started. That's why we need it reconciled. You didn't need reconciled because of the fella over here or some fella over there. You needed reconciled because of Adam. Do you understand that? Because Adam sinned. Adam brought universal condemnation onto all men. For the Bible says all sin comes short of the glory of God, but sin entered by one man. Sin entered into the world by one man. We preached about it. Adam. Romans 6 and 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. There's wages for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's wages for sin. They're not good to death. Christ had to die. It was not his life. Listen to me carefully now. Christ had to die. It was not his life. The perfect, sinless, blameless life of the Lamb that saves us. But it's death. Now go back with me in your mind for a moment before you argue it over. Atonement. That's the key. There had to be atonement made. Now we'll get to the life maybe tonight. But I'm dealing with this first. See, I want you to see this morning there's no negative even in the death. It's all positive. No negative. It's all positive. Christ's death was not negative. Christ's death positive. Because it's atonement. And I'll put this to you in my own words. It was a super atonement. For it was a superhuman that died for a normal man and woman. And Christ being that superhuman. How many can believe that? How many believe he was more than a man? He was a man, but yet he was more than a man. You know, he laid aside his glory and splendor to come down here so that he could die. Sinless and blameless life, that's not what saved us, but his death saved us. The death of Christ saved us. If Christ had never died, now here I'm going to go for a moment. Cain, if you can picture in your mind, Cain lays out a wonderful spread, and Cain is religious. Don't ever let nobody tell you that Cain wasn't a worshipper, and don't let nobody ever tell you that Cain wasn't religious. Cain was religious. And Cain lays out all the splendor of you. Read what Brother Branham says about it. He says, I can see Cain being religious with all spread out with his beautiful people and his lilies and all spread out to worship God. But God wouldn't accept it. And then he says, what a contrast. Here comes Abel. And Abel gets, he describes how he gets, makes a rope out of something up back there. He describes it and he ties up the lamb and he brings it in the lamb and he gets a stone and he hacks open the lamb's throat and he cuts the lamb's throat on the altar and God says, accept it. Because there had to be a substitute. There had to be atonement made reconciliation. An Abel's offering could never make an atonement because Abel's offering had no substitute. It was of his own making, his own hands. But Abel did not bring something of his own making and his own hands, but Abel brought a bloody lamb. And Abel offered a lamb being a type of Jesus Christ. And God accepted Abel's offering. But he never accepted Cain's. And you know what it says in Hebrews. But Cain, that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Cain's was excellent. But Abel's was more excellent. So religion won't do it. You can raise children up and they can be straight laced, all the rest of it, great soldiers. Now listen to me this morning. And get this right. You can do your best with them and I'm all for it. I'm trying to do it myself. But it won't save them. They're dead in the sins and trespasses. They have to be born again. And having a form of religion is no good. And having a form of rituals is no good. But there must be a born again experience. There must be a death and there must be a life. The Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground, dad, by it alone. But I tell you, we have a lot of people today with rules and regulations. But what if there's no birth? They're dead. All you have religious sinners. You can have a religious sinner or an unreligious sinner, but they're both equally dead. They're both equally on the way to the lost eternity. It's Christ we need. It's Christ that must be preached. And the power of reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ and that alone. That's what saves. And then William Branham said, God has no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. And I tell you, when a man comes along and he says, now, God has given us a new revelation, and I have 5 steps that you will do. The rapture will take place tomorrow when you do these 5 steps. Absolute nonsense. It's not a word of that. There's no scripture for such stuff as that. Brother Branham said it'll be a feast in the night. The Bible says that Jesus is coming as a feast in the night. That's why you must be ready today. The Bible says we need to be saved today. How long halt ye between two opinions? There has to be salvation. And salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. It's nowhere else. I tell you, form and all these things won't do it. Only the Lord can do it. Now let me get to this Romans 4:17. For as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now I want to tell you that Abraham, Sir Isaac, had the stamp of death upon them. And many can see that. Stamp of death was on them. And they had to make atonement. And the stamp of death was on them because of Adam's sin. For as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Romans 4:17. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 24. But for us also to whom it was shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Christ our Lord from the dead. The death of Christ. But you must believe it. Now I have a list here. I'm going to read these and then we're going to go. I want you to get this. You say, brother, you're very passionate and powerful in your announcement. I have to be. If I were to go on and listen to some of the stuff, and I don't do it, but it would make my throat off. And I'm serious when I say that. Do you know that God's word says they make me sick? Do you realize that? And God says it, rather you're cold or you're hot, or I'll throw you out, spew you out. That's God's word. God does not want us to be lukewarm Christians. God wants us to be men and women that's ready for the coming of the Lord and quit mucking about. get itself sharpened up. I tell you, I work sometimes with wood and stuff, and I had given a fella a hand the other day, and everything that man had about him, he handed me a saw. I was going to throw it over the hedge. Blunt. Nothing as bad to work with a blunt saw. The Bible talks about chopping with a dull axe. There's nothing will worry you out like chopping with a dull axe. The sweat will go on you. You need the sharpness of the word. Sword of the Spirit. Sharpness. Now that's only by prayer, supplication. Fiddling about won't do it, and you know what I'm talking about. God wants us people that's ready, hungry for God. Christ's death is the death of all death, Romans 5. It was substitutionary. All the deaths of mankind combined could not compare with Christ's death. It was unique, substitutionary, and perfect. How many believe that? Don't talk about any other death. They cannot be compared to Christ. None of them. Christ is unique. Do you know why? Because the tomb's empty. Now listen to this, and I'm going to close once I tell you this. His death was the chief purpose of the incarnation. His death was a free act. His death was an accomplishment. His death was of infinite value. His death was a penalty. His death was satisfaction. His death was complete and final. His death was of supreme interest to heaven. His death is promised in the New Testament. His death is essential to salvation. His death is a fundamental theme of the gospel. His death was a manifestation of divine love. His death was for the whole world. His death was a glorious conquest. His death is essential to Christianity. His death was a chief and contrast fact of his life. He knew it was the Father's will. His death by crucifixion but should be distinguished between the atonement. And I'm going to read you one more thing. And then we're going to close. A message called The Power of the Devil. Brother Brian preached about that, didn't he, when he was here? And there's always a ransom to be paid when anything is redeemed. And Jesus was our ransom. God sent him and made him in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet he was Emmanuel. A created blood dwelt within him, and he gave his blood for the redemption price to redeem us back into reconciliation to God. That we might walk with him as in the beginning, when man in the beginning, when he didn't have to shift for himself, God provided everything he had need of. But after he got reckless and shiftless and done wrong and sin separated him from God, then he had to shift for himself. Now Jesus came to redeem this man back into the care of the hands of a loving Father. Redemption brought back, replaced, put in position. Do you believe you're brought back? Do you believe he puts you in position? Not the minister. Not the organization. So if somebody says, if you don't follow certain so-and-so's view, but that's on scripture, that's not the message. This here's the real message. Jesus Christ places you. Jesus chose you. Jesus loved you. Jesus redeemed you. Jesus brings you into reconciliation. You're in communion with him. In friendship. You're pleased. You're chosen. Praise God. Amen. Can you get that this morning? What's that mean, brother? That means I can pray. I can pray. And I'm going to have confidence God will do something for me. You know, the devil never takes a time, a bit of a go at you. Tells you you're useless and all them different things. He did it with me back then. And you know, before long, he'll have you saying, I'm no good. I'm no good. I know you're not. Neither am I. But he's good. And he loved us with an unlovable love. God so loved the world. God is love. Because of his righteousness, I'm righteous. Because he sent the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit. Because he sent the power of the blood, I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm sinless in him. And I'm chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to make a statement that our brother has made several times when he's been here, and he made it again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses my past, my present, and my future sins. They're all dealt for at the cross. Do you believe that this morning? That means we're free. Ain't that someone to praise the Lord about? Let's stand our feet. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. How our hearts rejoice, Lord, at the great redemption plan. How our hearts rejoice, Lord, at the ultimate price you paid for mankind. Lord, you didn't come to save the righteous, but you come to save the sinners. The wee drunkard, prostitute, all of the world would class as unclean and filthy. You can make him a child of God, a saint of God, because of the power of atonement. We thank you for the power of atonement, for the power of reconciliation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in standing today, in standing with God, joint heirs with God, heirs with God, joint heirs through Jesus Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray you'll bless your children. Strengthen every brother in this room. Strengthen every sister in this room. Move in every boy and every girl. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. May they come to know Jesus Christ, young as their Lord and Savior. May you save every one of them. Lord, we thank you for the words that the jailer heard. Ye in your house shall be saved. Lord, we believe that's your word. We claim that this morning over our children, over our sons, over our daughters. We claim your salvation. We ask that the token be applied upon them, that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ go on that young man, go on that young woman, and the Holy Spirit will work upon them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, will you meet every need in this room? Meet the needs here and at home. Lord, have your way amongst us. Give us a hunger. Give us a desire. Give us a thirst for the things of God. Move upon those that's not here this morning that maybe should have been here. Speak to them. Move upon them. Bind the devil that would try to lead them astray. May the Holy Spirit work on them and bring them into your house. In the name of Jesus we pray. Heavenly Father, we want to say this morning we love you, Lord, with all of our hearts, because you first loved us. Lord, when we think of those words, how they melt our hearts, I love you, and I give myself for you. Lord, when we are unlovable, you loved us, and you saved us and delivered us. We're glad for your salvation. We're glad, Lord, in the 20th century, you sent a message. Lord, it wasn't a message so we could form some religion or some organization, but it was a message to bring us back to the Bible pattern, back to the Bible truth. We thank you for that, Lord. It was you that sent the spirit of Elijah. It was you that appeared. It was you that came down. It was you that came on the scene. And we're looking for you. Lord, come again. Visit again. Move again. Come in and out amongst us. Visit us with your presence. For we love you this morning, Lord Jesus. Confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, you bless each one that's here. Bless us as we go out. Bless us as we come in. Meet every need. Thank you for those that give to your servant. May you bless them. Press down. Running over the top. Pray for my dad as he goes to Brother Billy's tonight. Lord, that you'd anoint them, that you'll bless them, that you'll speak to the people's hearts, that you'll touch lives. Lord, for these different invitations, we commit them all to you. We want to be led by your Spirit. We want to be governed by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we just look to you for your help and your blessing. Now, Father, meet every need. Part of your blessing of make of rich. and out of those sorrows that I would come or call. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Gary comes. God bless you.
Thank you.